This morning I have a short and simple message. It's short and simple in the fact that it is really easy and simple to think about, but it actually is quite challenging when we get to the core of it. So I want to start by telling you a couple of little stories. A large dog walks into the butcher and he's carrying a purse in his mouth. He puts the purse down and sits in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" says the butcher. "Do you want to buy some meat?" "Woof," barks the dog. Says the butcher. "What kind? Do you want liver? Do you want bacon? Do you want some steak?" "Woof," interrupts the dog. "How much steak? Half a pound? 1 pound?" "Woof," barks the dog. The amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. As the dog leaves, the butcher decides to follow him. The dog enters an apartment and climbs up to the third floor and begins scratching at the door. With that, the door swings open and an angry man starts shouting at the dog. "Ah, you silly dog!" "Stop," yells the butcher. "He's the most intelligent animal I've ever met." "Intelligent," says the man. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." Now this man, he wasn't very thankful for his dog. Contrast to that, I read a little story this week about a lady named Pam. She used to work in downtown Chicago. Every morning she encountered a middle-aged woman in shabby coat, and she was soliciting spare change in front of an old brick church. She greeted everyone with a smile and a pleasant good morning. Pam almost always gave her something. After almost a year of this routine, however, the woman in the shabby coat disappeared. Pam had wondered what had happened to her. Then one beautiful day, she was in front of the church again, still wearing the same shabby coat. As Pam reached into her purse for the usual donation, the woman stopped her. "Thank you for helping me all of those days," she said. "You won't see me again because I have a job." And with that, she reached into a bag and handed Pam a wrapped package. She had been standing at her old spot, waiting not for a handout, but for the people she recognized so that she could give each of them a donut. She was thankful. To clear the tears from my eyes, sorry. Today, I want to talk to us about the virtue of thankfulness and the thankfulness in our relationship with God. In a world full of distractions, in a world full of challenges, it's easy to lose sight of the many blessings that surround us. Yet even in the midst of difficulties, cultivating the spirit of thankfulness can transform our outlook on life, and it can deepen our connection with God. I want to look at gratitude as a spiritual discipline, thankfulness as a spiritual discipline. Gratitude or thankfulness is not merely a fleeting emotion. It is a spiritual discipline that requires practice and intentionality. Just as we exercise our bodies, I played a game of hockey yesterday and I'm a bit sore, but just as we exercise our physical bodies, we must also exercise our hearts and our minds to stay spiritually grounded. Through prayer, through meditation and reflection on God's goodness, we can train ourselves to see the abundance of blessings in our life, both big and small. I share with you another story. I heard of a fellow who wished to dispose of his home. He called the real estate agent and said, I want to run an ad in the paper to sell my home. Get rid of it as quickly as you can. I'm tired of this old place. The agent said, tell me something about your home so I can run it. A really good ad for you. The man told him, how many rooms it had, that it had good carpet, that there was expensive shrubs in the yard. He told him about the fruit trees down in the backyard and many other advantages that the house had. He described the house in detail. When he finished, the agent says, I'll read back to you and you tell me how this sounds. He read the ad about this beautiful three-bedroom home with two baths, a good stand of grass, fruit trees in the backyard, a new roof, central air conditioning, a remodeled carport for two cars. He kept on reading and reading until the owner stopped him. Wait a minute, stop. This house is not for sale. All my life, I've been waiting for a place like that, but I didn't realize I had one until right now. You see, as we practice gratitude, God can change our perspectives. When we practice gratitude as a spiritual discipline, God continues to change our perspective on the situations in our life. Just like this guy wanted to sell his house, actually he had his dream home already. But we need to do this with intentionality, with discipline, and with good practice. As part of a thankful heart, we need to acknowledge God's good provision for us. In Psalm 106, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness endures forever. And in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we approach God with thanksgiving, we acknowledge his provision in our lives. Every breath we take, every morsel of food we eat, every moment of joy we experience is a gift from him. By expressing gratitude and thankfulness for this, we recognize God as the ultimate source of all that we have. Nancy Spielberg writes in a little message that she wrote in Our Daily Bread, Lord, I have crawled across the bareness to be with... Lord, I crawled across the bareness to you with my empty cup, uncertain and asking any small drop of refreshment from you. If only I had known better, I'd have come running with a bucket. We can trust in God's provision and we can be thankful when he comes through for us. I talked at the beginning of this year as we did our messages, the end of last year with Steve, and we did our messages in Philippians about finding joy in the things around us. And Paul writes this in Philippians 4. He writes, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know that what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or whether hungry, whether living in, with plenty or in want. You see, in these verses, Paul's words remind us that thankfulness is not dependent on our circumstances. Even in times of hardship, we can find reasons to be grateful, knowing that God is with us and working all things together for our good. Matthew Henry writes, he's a famous Bible person I practice the words that I can't do like 7 or 8 times, and I get up here and I'm like, just tongue-tied. Anyway, he's a good man. Matthew Henry, look him up, was once accosted by thieves. So this man was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his pocketbook. These are the words he wrote in the lines of his diary. Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took it all, it wasn't really that much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed somebody else. You see, there's always something to be thankful for, to God for. Lastly, this morning, with gratitude, it naturally leads us to a heart of worship. Gratitude leads us to this place of worship when we recognize the countless blessings God has bestowed upon us. Our hearts overflow with praise. Our hearts overflow with adoration to the provider, to God. Through songs of worship, through prayers, through thanksgiving, through acts of service, we express our gratitude to God for His faithfulness and His goodness. You see, worship doesn't just become a Sunday morning ritual, but a way of life. A continual offering of thanksgiving to the one who deserves all honor and all glory and all praise. So these words are easy to say, but they're hard to live by. This morning, last night, my boy got sick again. And I didn't have much to be thankful for in that moment because it was hard work. I just got back from a game of hockey. Like I said, I was a bit sore. He was unwell. And what we know from that is that it's a flow-on effect. It's 48 hours from his symptoms before he can go back to kindy, which means it puts pressure on Wendy and I. We've got appointments and stuff this week that we need to keep. I wasn't very thankful. I actually approached God with this mentality of going, why? We've just had 3 weeks of stomach bugs. We've just dealt with all of this. Why again, God? But you know what? I just needed to come. And this morning, as I was sitting praying again over my message of thankfulness that I'd written during the week, God reminds me of the good things that I have. I'm thankful that he didn't get admitted to hospital. I'm thankful that I have a wife who supports me to become and be able to share in this platform and this stage. I'm thankful for the love and support of our church congregation to come and to encourage and to build us up. There's so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of what I have. So this morning, I'd like us to pause, and I'd like us to give thanks. Thanks, Dean. No, it's just one or two. This morning, I'd love for us to pause and to give thanks. I would love for us to think about what we can be thankful to God for. Do we have a really long list? Or are you like me this morning and you are struggling to think of even one thing to be thankful for? In these moments, these next moments, we're going to play a song shortly. I'd love us to bring our thanksgiving to God. This morning, do you need God to help change your perspective? This morning, do you need God to help shift your lens of your circumstances and to shift the lens of your heart to have a heart full of thanksgiving? It's hard. But God can rewrite our hearts and our minds. He can rewrite our narrative for us in the midst of our situations. He can rewrite our narrative of thanksgiving. Well, lastly, is there someone this morning that you need to show gratitude toward, that you need to thank? Do you need to pause and do you need to thank them? If this is you this morning, probably the one and only time, get your phone out or get your piece of paper out and write a message to somebody. If it's an email or a text message, if it's a letter, take a moment this morning to write that and then send it. That's the important part. It's not just the writing, but to send it. And if that means our phones this morning. We need to be thankful for someone across the room, and we forgot to turn our phones on silent. That's okay. We'll just hear some dings going off. But this morning, if you need to express thankfulness to somebody, I encourage you to do that in this moment now. We're going to listen to this song. The song is called Thank You, Lord, and it's by River Valley Worship. And some of the words are, thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Every time I turn around, you are there to make a way. Thank you for your kindness and for your love. And every time I turned around, I could see that you are enough. We give thanks. We give thanks, O Lord, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. So we're going to play this song. And if it's a moment where you need to express your thanks and your gratitude to God, do that. Just where you are. If you need to thank somebody in a message, write that to them. If you're asking for God to help change your perspective, to help change your narrative and your story, ask God for that. And if you need some support in that, we're happy to pray with you. But let's listen to this song this morning.